Thank you, musicians. Wayne, Robin, thanks for singing with me today.
I just got told I had to be here.
You just got told you had to be here.
Yeah,
okay.
I haven't done that in a while.
For some reason, Wayne thinks that patting me on the rear end makes me preach better. I don't know, when he's not here, I miss it, you know. I don't feel like I can really preach because I don't have the anointing. He hasn't laid hands on me. God is good, isn't he? He is good all the time. He is good all the time. You know, Lynn, thank you for mentioning the events of the last couple of weeks as God has moved in a very special way in many hearts, and I'm so blessed that there are so many of you who have found that you can tell other people about Jesus. You can. You don't have to be fearful and hesitant. This week, I've just been reading through the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. I'm just going to walk. My wife says we're in a lot of trouble this morning. I didn't see you bring any notes into the pulpit, which usually means I'm off on something that's really eating at me. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read, 14 or 15 verses. Soon afterwards, he went through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on rocky soil. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, but when testing comes, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand. After Jesus told this parable, his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, explain to us what this means." And you explained it to them with precise detail. I pray this morning that you will help us to discern the wisdom in the words that Jesus shared with his disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Like many of you, I've been plowing through some of those contact cards from last week. I have found that some of the names we got are names of famous movie stars. Some of the phone numbers don't work or ring up the local pizza house. Follow-up is where the work is. And I've come to be convicted of some things. And this message is really has one purpose this morning. And that is to encourage you, especially those of you who have found now that perhaps God is calling you as your function, your part of the body of Christ to be an evangelist. It is such an important work. The great commission that Jesus gave us was go and tell. More accurately, the great commission was as you are going. Not specifically to go to tell, but as you are going, wherever you are going, and whatever you're involved in, to be ready to share your story, to share your testimony, to share the word of God. And so in the middle of this journey Jesus is going on in Luke chapter 8, we read that he's going from town to town, and there's a number of people going with him, his disciples. Remember those guys Jesus met down by the seashore when he started his ministry? He came back out of the wilderness and he started his ministry. And they're sitting on the seashore, minding their own business, fixing their nets, getting their boats ready to go out. And Jesus says, hey, you, come with me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. I have to say that all of the stuff that has become part of the modern church, you know, the buildings and the meetings and the organizations and all of those things, that was all started for one purpose. One purpose. And that was to call men out of darkness into light. To call men out of death unto life. Jesus came to save men. He didn't come to found social clubs. Okay? His purpose for all of us, some more specifically gifted than others, but for all of us, that we would share the word of God, particularly with regard to his plan of salvation. If we get self-centered, inward turn, all about us, let's make sure that we get our needs met, we've missed something. We've missed what Jesus intended for his disciples. His last commandment, I mentioned it earlier, his very last commandment was go. We read in the book of Romans, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless someone tell them? And how shall they tell them unless someone is sent? And so Jesus is walking along the way with this assortment of people, the disciples and some women, Mary Magdalene and Susanna and Joanna and others. And you'll notice there, these were people who really supported Jesus in his ministry. They're walking along, and as they went from town to town to town, this crowd began to develop. They wanted to hear the words of Jesus. The crowd began to develop as Jesus taught. And after a while, I'll just read it for you. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he began to speak a parable. And this is what he said. A sower went forth to sow, and his seed, You know, he's throwing seed. They didn't have machines that they pulled through a field in those days. These guys had a bag around their neck, and it sat on their side, and they would reach their hand into the bag, and they would do this. They would just do this. They would walk through a field, and they would just grab handfuls of seed, and they would just sow it. A sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, some fell upon the pathway and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on rocky soil. Now, some of your Bibles may say the rocks, but the image here from the original language is, you know how you can have a thin layer of soil, but underneath, it's kind of like digging post holes in Vermont. We put some new post holes around to build a fence around Barbara's garden a couple weeks ago, and we got down about 6 inches and met rock. I mean, great big rocks, but he's talking about almost like a ledge, that there's this thin layer of soil. And he says, and some of it fell on rocky soil, and as it grew, it took root. But as it grew, the roots couldn't go deep, and they couldn't draw moisture out of the ground, and they couldn't survive. And it withered away because it had no moisture. It couldn't get down into the ground and draw nourishment. And some fell among the thorns, and as the thorns grew up with it and choked it, and some fell on good soil and grew up and yielded a hundredfold. Then he did something interesting. He said, and then some of it fell on good soil, and it took root, and it grew up some a hundredfold. And then it's almost, as I read this, it's almost as if Jesus looked up, looked at the crowd, and said, he who has ears, let him hear. Now that's another way of saying, listen. Listen. Now we all know that Jesus often spoke in parables. He spoke with stories. So now a parable is just simply a story. It doesn't have to be true. It's an illustration. It's a story that is told. And to grasp, a parable was designed to make people think. It was designed to provoke thought. I believe it was like a pre-qualification filter that Jesus threw out, because people who weren't interested in the truth wouldn't bother to think it through. And so as he finishes his story, he says, I hope you're listening. The reason he hoped they were listening is because the crowd to whom he was speaking was the crowd of whom he was speaking. He was saying to the disciples, because the disciples came to him afterwards, and they said, what is that? The disciples did that a lot. It's very interesting. A lot of times Jesus would tell a story, and after the story was over, the disciples would go to him privately, and they would say, Lord, the people didn't understand it. Maybe you could explain it to us. They came to him, and they asked him the meaning. And I think it's important that we get this. There's three principles in this story. There's the sower. There's the soil. All right? There's the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. Those are the three things. Jesus explained what those things were. The sower is the one who goes forth and spreads the word of God. The seed is the word of God. And then the soil is the heart. And so Jesus is talking about four different kinds of hearts that the sower encounters as he goes along. Now, for those of you who went out when we were going out with our teams all over Brattleboro and Winchester and the surrounding area, in that story, you would be the sower. And you went as you went to people. You met them in the co-op. You met them in Walmart, in the fish and tackle area, wherever you met them, in Market 32, at the outlet up here, wherever you were on the streets in Brattleboro. You were in those highways and byways, and you were encountering a number of different kinds of hearts. You became a sower. And I want to say to you today, especially for those of you who've been trying to do some follow-up and it gets a little discouraging, right? I want to say something to you. A sower has one responsibility. One. Can you guess what it is? To sow the seed. To sow the seed. And the sower sows it. He sowed it. Some of it fell on the pathway. Maybe he drug it out of his bag as it came. It fell on the pathway. Some of it fell on ground that had a rocky underlaying and the roots couldn't go down. And some of it fell. And how many of you know that stuff, the worst stuff that can be in your garden grows the fastest? Those weeds grow way faster than the maters or the beans. And so some of it fell in soil. It was filled with weeds and the thorns grew up and they choked it out. But some of it fell on good soil. And that's the encouragement that I want to give you today. Some of you sowed seed that fell on a pathway that was trampled under. The path that some of the folks you encountered are walking on is what I would call unplowed dirt. An unplowed heart. How many of you know you can't plant seed on ground that hasn't been broken up? When we have so many today in our world today, and this is why I believe prayer becomes such an important part of sowing. Because a lot of this thing, we throw the seed onto the ground, whatever quality of ground it is, but at the same time, we need to throw prayers up to God. God, you're the one that brings the harvest. I'm sowing. I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm going to sow the seed. And wherever it falls, it falls. Some of you met people, maybe have even since, whose hearts have been so hardened by the path that they are walking that they have an unreceptive heart. You've all met them. You've all met them. People who just cannot receive the Word of God. The stone of their heart is so hard. And I don't say this even in a critical way or a condemning way. Do you know life makes hearts hard? There are many who have grown a hard heart simply as a means of protection, as preservation, just to survive because of the path that they're walking. Hearts become hard. Some hearts simply, there's something there. They hear the message. They hear it. They respond to it. Wow, that's really good. That's really good news. I think I like that. But there's only a thin layer of soil, and underneath is hard, and nothing ever takes root. And Jesus says here, when he says that, listen to what Jesus says. He says, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes it away. I will guarantee you that some people, you soul winners, you people who went out and you shared the word of God to them, and there was an agent of the enemy came right behind you to pluck that seed up. You can bet on it. The enemy says, I'm not letting go of that one. I'm not going to turn loose of that one. So what do we do? Just say, oh, well, never mind. No, you pray for that person. You pray that something will come to break up that hard soil. Maybe another sower will come along. Maybe one seed will survive, a memory of something you said. But you need to be praying for that hard, unreceptive heart. Because God can plow up hard ground. It's a hard road to hoe, they say, but it can be done. But don't be discouraged if you sow seed And there are some who don't respond. Not your responsibility. There's three. Jesus throws all of the responsibility here, not on the sower, but on the soil. When someone hears the gospel, it's their responsibility to respond to it. Do you understand that? It's their responsibility. So then he said, it's an impulsive heart. We have an unreceptive heart. Then we have an impulsive heart which says, they'll take anything new that comes along. That's really exciting. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad God loves me. I love me too. But then somebody says, you did what? Oh man, you're not getting into that religious stuff, are you? What a weirdo. What an idiot. And those who have not taken root wilt. They wilt. But you know what I saw a picture of one day? I saw a picture of this rocky crag. I mean, it was solid rock. And right up out of one of the cracks out of that rock was growing a little tree. It found a way. It found a way. I know it works. We've got little trees that grow up right out of our sidewalk. They do. I have to go in there and cut them with a weed eater and stuff because they find a way right up. We need to pray for that person with the rocky soil. That they would find some place there to take root. And then, of course, there's the seed that fell on the thorns and the weeds. By the way, as I'm going along here today, each and every one of us ought to consider, what kind of heart is mine? What's my heart like? Do I have a receptive heart? Or do I have an unreceptive heart? Do I have an impulsive heart? Or do I have a preoccupied heart? Here's what Jesus says. He says, the devil comes and takes away that seed. Then the other seed, he hears the word, he receives it, but he doesn't have any root. So he believes for a while. But then trouble comes, or the test comes, or the hardship comes, and they fade away. And then there are those that fall upon the thorns. They are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. You know, this world almost has like a siren's call, calling people back, calling people back. You can't do this anymore. You can't do that anymore. They don't ever get the heart of the gospel. They hear the beckoning call of the world, or they get focused on money, or they get focused on their job, or they get focused on finding a husband or finding a wife or whatever it is their life is focused on, and it chokes out the spiritual life. Now, you pray that God will come and weed the garden. Amen? Pull up the thorns. But here's what I want to encourage you on. Somebody you shared the word with last week or this week has a heart that's been fully prepared. God has already prepared them for your arrival. God has already prepared them to hear the word that you have to share with them. God has prepared them. The heart's been plowed. It's been turned over. The weeds have been pulled out. The rocks have been removed. This heart is ready. And Jesus was saying to the disciples, you see this big crowd? This crowd is filled with people with unreceptive hearts. They're here for the miracles. They're here for the supernatural stuff. They're here for the bread and the fishes. They're here for all of that stuff. But their heart is not receptive to the word of God. He said, in this crowd, there are hearts with a thin layer of soil and it cannot take root. In this crowd, there are hearts that are filled with weeds and thorns, the cares of this life. And that seed's going to fall and the weeds are going to choke it out. But in this crowd, there are hearts that are ready. I want to suggest to you a prayer for those soul winners among us when you are about your day. Pray that God will lead you to hearts that have been plowed. Pray that God will lead you to the hearts that has been prepared. I have to tell you a little story out of my own life. I used to be involved in, well, I've been involved in a lot of things, but I used to be involved in sales. Not sales in a store where you stand behind a counter and people come in and say, I want that television. I had to go out and literally knock on doors, make phone calls, set up appointments, and make sales to people. They call them cold contacts. And here's what I learned. I learned very quickly. I want you to remember this principle. 120 and 5. 120 and 5. I learned very quickly that for every 100 calls that I made, I might get 20 decent contacts. And out of 20 decent contacts, I might get 5 potential sales. Now, I want you to listen to this because it's important to you. For every 100 contacts I made, I might get 20 reasonable contacts. And out of those 20, I might get 5 good sales. I had a young fellow that I worked with, and he became convinced he could beat those statistics. And he would get a hold of God. They were not going to buy anything from him. They were window shoppers. They just loved to have people try to sell them stuff. And they would drag him on and drag him on. And somebody said, did you ever close that account over there? And he said, no, but I'm going to get them. I'm going to beat that statistic. He never did beat it. And he asked me one time, he says, I don't know, how do you deal with this? I said, well, I get through my first 100 as quick as I can so I can start on my second 100. Because there's a statistic that says for every 100 contacts you make, you're going to get 20 good contacts. Out of that, you're going to get 5 sales. The best way to get to those 5 sales is to get through that 100 quickly. Don't waste time with people who aren't going to buy. Don't spend time with people who are disinterested, who are just window shopping. Cut those guys out. Get to the ones who really want to buy something. The only way you're going to find that heart with a good soil is to sow with a degree of indiscriminate sowing. I'm just going to sow. Anybody that'll listen, anybody that I get an opportunity, anybody, you cannot control the condition of their heart. You can't determine what condition their heart is in all the time. But you can do what a sower is supposed to do. And that is sow. That is so. And so I want to encourage you. Jesus was giving these disciples, you know, I want to read a scripture for you. I won't keep you much longer, but I want to read a scripture for you here from 1 John. 1 John. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture in all of the Bible. John is writing a letter to the churches in Asia, and this is what he says. He's that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and we testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, which was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy might be complete. Our joy is made complete when we're able to share the gospel with someone else. Our purpose is made complete when we're able to share the gospel with someone else. And so I was just thinking, actually, this really started gelling in me. I had a stack of those contact cards. No answer. The person is not accepting calls at this time. Village Inn Pizza, can I help you? not home, not answering, doesn't want to talk to you. That's frustrating, isn't it? And then all of a sudden I realize, hey, the job that was supposed to be done was done. The job that was supposed to be done was done. It's in your hands now, Father. And so instead of beating my telephone down on the desk out of frustration, I took all those cards and I stacked them up. And I put my hands on them. And I said, Lord, you know every one of these people. You know the condition of their heart. You know the circumstances of their life. You know their hardship. You know their trouble. You know the sincerity or lack of sincerity in their heart. You know all of that. And then I went through name by name and I prayed for them. And I said, Father, send your Holy Spirit after them. Send your Holy Spirit after them. Send your Holy Spirit after this young lady who says she's a recovering addict. Help her, oh God. Send your Holy Spirit after this one who had a real experience, but I can't get a hold of. Father, I did my job. Now, Holy Spirit, do your job. Amen? The thing that I want to guard against is someone saying, you know, I witnessed to so many people and I don't feel like we're getting any results. The solution is not to stop. The solution is to sow and to sow and to sow. I guess I would end by sharing with this. If you stop sowing, what result do you get? Nothing. Jesus was not trying to discourage the disciples here. He was telling them the truth. There's lots of soil hearts. There's lots of hearts out there. There's the unreceptive heart. Not much you can do about that. There is the impulsive heart. Somebody who says, oh yeah, I'll pray with you. But it doesn't go very deep. Then there is that distracted, preoccupied heart that's preoccupied with all the things of the world, got to make a living, got to get a better job, got to get a better car, got a better house, da 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 da. Preoccupied with all the things of this world. And then there's that one heart. That's the heart we're searching for. That's the heart we're looking for. The one who's hungry. The one who's needy, the one who's hurting, the one whose heart has been plowed up. And the only way we find it is to keep sowing. And I'm so happy, Lynn, you shared your testimony because it shows that you're still sowing. You're still sowing. Still sowing. And the Word of God says this, do not become weary in well-doing. Can you finish it for me? For in due season, you shall reap if you don't quit. If you don't quit. And so Jesus said, let him who has ears to hear, hear. Listen. This is what you're faced with. This is what you're going to be dealing with. There are those who are here listening because of what they might get. There are those who are listening because, well, I got nothing better to do. I might as well. Hearts that are in all sorts of conditions, but somewhere in that crowd, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a boy, there's a girl who's hungry to hear the word. And they will respond to it. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit will come and water it and weed it and send other lives along to bring it to fruition. You're not a harvester, you are a sower. And there's no harvest if the sower doesn't do his job. So this message today is just to encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. And I want to remind you of something, and then we'll close. Something that Tommy Zito said. He said, our real goal here is to equip people so that they can give testimony to their friends, their family, their neighbors, and their loved ones. And if you can go out on the streets of Brattleboro and pick out a guy stoned out of his mind sitting on the ground and share the gospel with him, you can talk to Uncle Bob or Aunt Sally or Brother Bill. You're equipped to do that now. And that's where you're going to begin to see results. Let's pray. Father, I just felt like we needed to encourage folks today. There was all of the fire and the vigor of those wonderful meetings we had here. But every week's not going to be like that, and every day is not going to be like that. Some days it's just going to be hard work, sacrifice, putting ourselves out there, extending ourselves, taking a chance, taking a risk, speaking up. Somewhere in the life of every person in this room, somewhere, there's a heart that's waiting to hear the good news of the gospel. Somewhere, at the workplace, at the family reunion, in the pizza house, in a picnic in the backyard, somewhere, there are hearts that are waiting to hear that God loves them and has a plan for their lives. So, Father, I pray, give us persistence. Give us the gift of tenacity. Hearts that won't give up. But we will continue to sow and to sow and to sow and to sow. That by any means, men might come to faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Barbara, would you come back? Let's stand together. Just want to sing that song again. His name is wonderful. Let's just close with that this morning. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master. Shepherd, he's the great shepherd.